Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hate it or love it, but we're back. Trying to get to the top. Got some work to do. We'll get there. Chiefs do currently sit at the top of the AFC West and the AFC. Who'd have thought, me? By week six. Now we're in week seven, rolling along. We'll dive into the San Francisco matchup as we get closer and closer to the weekend. If you've been a fan of this show, you kind of know the process of it. Nothing to talk about today. Really, honestly, what do you want to dive into?
Somebody complaining that we didn't break down the game yet or something?
No.
I think people are still recovering from the Royals, right? Kind of using this week as a hard reset. And then, Friday, we got football this weekend, right? Like, I think people are still kind of coming out of the, damn, that was a quick baseball run. I would like it to be longer, but you know what?
Yeah.
We were there.
Story of my life. I would love it to be longer. The baseball season, because I hate the Yankees. Like, even, like, some people are talking to me, like, still bitter? I'm like, yes, of course. I got my stupid October baseball hoodie the day after they lost in the mail.
You know what? They're like 50% off now.
I know. I should have waited.
You got to wait.
They're
man.
Actually very comfortable.
Are they good? I may get one then. Because they're like,
yeah, I mean, they still played in October, so it's not a lie.
No. I was just looking yesterday, like Fanatics sent a thing, like 50% off.
Cody's wearing his one from 2014.
Of course, because nobody's letting those go because they're great sweatshirts still to this day.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about it. I saw it on Fanatics yesterday, and I'm like, all right.
Might as well. I mean, what is it, $45 now?
50.
50? Yeah, mine was like 92 after tax.
Like, you win.
I know how to find a hard bargain. And then you buy it via Klarna or Afterpay or Affirm, and you have four low installments of $6.
Because wouldn't have been so great. Maybe that's next year's World Series. 10 years later, Yankees lose to the Royals, and then the Royals go play the Mets in the World Series.
10 years later?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Baseball would hate it, but I'd love it. Because what did we see yesterday? Baseball's ratings were at all-time high since 2000, not all-time, but since 2009, they had an 8.2 million, million viewership.
Yeah.
And I asked, I wonder what the views were for K-State and Colorado at 9:30, because I bet they were just way high. I bet they were double that. I bet they were 16.
You think? I don't know how you find that out. You know, you got to, I mean, somebody I'm sure has it on the interwebs or whatnot, but baseball at all-time high. You know why? The Royals were back in.
Have you seen the Big Lebowski, Mac?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was a dude, man.
Yeah. Because I said that reference yesterday and nobody bit on it.
Yeah, we were talking about the, you know, the boss's gift. And
that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah.
But a lot of opinions are going to start firing around this time of year. I'll answer this honestly. Do Chiefs fans and maybe media people as well, I'll fall into this. Do we do this every year when trades start to happen and the Chiefs stay quiet?
Yeah, you covet your neighbor's wife, man.
Everybody goes, well, when are we going to make a move? When are the Chiefs going to make a move? And some people would say, well, do they necessarily need to?
Right. And, need and want to are two different things, right?
Like, would I love to have a loaded, which we had, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice were there.
Yeah.
But they're hurt. Which makes you think immediately, this team needs to make a move.
Right.
And the analogy that I gave yesterday, or earlier in the show, was that I think this year they need to make a move because they're really, really treading on low tread tires. Because in years past, like last year, when they didn't really have a whole lot to go at receiver, they found out they could just go simplicity at its finest and win because they had Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, solid offensive line. This year, they do not have Isaiah Pacheco. They do not have Rashee Rice. And yes, they have Xavier Worthy, who I think we will see his role expand, from what we've heard and what we've seen, that he's ahead of schedule, yada, yada, yada. We'll hear more today as coaches and players will speak throughout the week. And this is a game in which it's like, okay, last week it was Juju, or 2 weeks ago it was Juju. Maybe this week it's a Travis Kelce explosion game. I don't know.
Hey, he's playing against, you know, the greatest tight end in the world. And what's his name? Ron Kittle out there in San Francisco?
George Kittle.
Yeah.
And I think the Chiefs should make a move. I don't think it was ever going to be Davante Adams. I thought there was a chance because of contract it could be Amari Cooper. Bills moved first.
Mm-hmm.
Jets moved. Bills moved. They had played like less than 24 hours apart from each other. It was a close game. And the Jets made a move to get Davante Adams. And then the Bills made a move to get Amari Cooper almost within like 2 hours of each other.
Right.
And that we knew about. And to me, the Chiefs are a vehicle or a car right now that the check engine light's on, the windshield wiper fluid is low, and there's a notification on your dash that says rear right tire low. Mm-hmm. And you got to constantly go air it up. And I don't think they can afford to lose another person on this roster before. Then it's kind of like, okay, there's too many cracks in the foundation. There's too many things wrong with the vehicle. We need to get an upgrade on somewhere. I'm not necessarily saying you need to go buy two new sets of tires to fix the back. I'm not saying you got to get synthetic oil. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're going to use two full jugs of windshield wiper fluid. But I think you need to go get something that can patch over something, like a Slayton or a, what's the guy's name? I'm drawing a blank. Deontay Johnson in Carolina
would be
a good name.
Sure.
Those guys are both contract friendly. Slayton's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Doesn't work out, buy. Does work out, maybe you got a contract.
And that may be more of a logical ad than anything, because the Chiefs, again, have about $4 million of money that they can spend for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Slayton's contract is done at the end of the year. I don't know what he's getting paid this year, but you can look it up on Spot Rack and figure out, mm-hmm. divided by 17 and how much money he has left on that contract. The smaller the number, the better for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we saw two teams yesterday make moves for wide receivers. The Jets go out and get Davante Adams. Does that make the Jets better? I don't know. Does he play left tackle? Can he play quarterback? Can he call plays? Can he be the head coach? Like, the Jets have a lot of problems. The Buffalo Bills right now, they're looking at that window closing and they're like, all right, we can't waste Josh Allen this year. We've got to find a way to beat more than just, average teams. They needed a wide receiver. They went out and got Amari Cooper. But the Chiefs are not in that same boat. It's like when you walk into that bar at the end of the night, right? The Jets and Bills, they're desperate, man. They're like, all right, anybody, right? Like, it's desperation mode. Chiefs walk in, they're like, man, I'm the Chiefs, man. Like, I'm not desperate. I've got back-to-back Super Bowl championships. Yes, they do want to win that third one, and they want to win that third one more than any of us can put into words how bad they want to win that third one. But they're also not going to sacrifice long-term and make a stupid move because they're out here trying to chase, that third Super Bowl. And these mercenary players that have come in, over the last couple of years – haven't really produced and led to what everybody wanted them to. I mean, you just look at the three moves last year. Chase Claypool, wide receiver, traded to Miami, played 9 games and 4 catches. You said out of the league, right?
Yeah, it didn't work in Buffalo.
Right. Van Jefferson, traded to Atlanta, played 12 games, 12 catches. He's now with Pittsburgh. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, traded to Detroit a year ago, ended up playing 8 games, had 5 catches. I don't know where he is this year, right? I have no idea. And that's just three wide receivers that were traded last year around the trade deadline. So the moves look good on paper, but they also usually don't amount to that much from an on-field production standpoint. And I know that is something that is important to the Chiefs. I've been told if they make a move, it's got to be with somebody that they know can be inserted into this offense, pick it up right away, and move forward, because everybody talks about how difficult this offense is. So I don't think the Chiefs are in that desperation mode right now at wide receiver. And you also don't make a move because somebody else did something. Why would you ever copy anything the Jets do? Why would you ever copy anything really that Buffalo is doing at this point in time? Those two teams are trying to catch you. Those two teams are in desperation mode. Those two teams see their window closing. The Chiefs are like, come on, come get us. Our defense will kick your ass every day of the week. Now, if you have an opportunity to add Slayton from the Giants, I like that move a lot. I think that could be somebody that can fit in here. But I also look at the draft picks. I'm like, Brett Veach hits like a 90% success rate when it comes to draft picks. Do we want to give up draft picks for a guy on an expiring contract? So those are all the things that you have to work through and consider when you're making a deal. And then the other thing is that a lot of people don't factor in. Nobody really wants to trade with the Chiefs and Brett Veach. Like, it's not easy for Brett Veach to pick up the phone and have somebody say, sure, yeah, I'll make you better. Like Buffalo twice. So that's the other thing that you're facing against. Not a lot of these cats are willing to really go out here and try to make the Chiefs better unless they feel like they're trying to swindle the Chiefs out of something at this point in time.
Speaking of get better, we'll tie back into the wide receivers. Speaking of get better, you can go to our Twitter page, the Fan 965. We have a poll question every Wednesday from this show from Fesco and Dusty. Who got better from the trades yesterday, the Jets or the Bills? It is that simplistic. Jets or Bills, who got better from the trades yesterday? Out of 249 votes so far, the Bills running away with it. 67.5%
of the votes. Crazy. I would have guessed the other way just by name recognition alone, but I do agree. I think Buffalo did get better yesterday
over
the Jets.
I hope they're right because Amari Cooper sits on my fantasy roster, and now Josh Allen throws the ball to Amari Cooper. Coming up on the other side, the wide receiver movement, we dive more into the mercenary type thing, but also Jets, Bills, Mike Williams, Aaron Rodgers, all that here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
I just got punched in the eye by my headphones. Ugh. That hurt.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, hit me right in like the lower bone.
Yeah, your eye's going to be watering all day.
Yeah, it'll be watering around 4 o'clock in the afternoon today. Both of them will be.
Looking at the comet, right?
Yeah, no, that'll be at 6:50. Okay. I'm going to go check that thing out again.
We were talking about the television ratings earlier about Major League Baseball getting like 8 million people to watch or
8.2,
whatever.
8.2, yeah.
Yeah. Colorado and Kansas State peaked at 3.7 million.
Shoot.
Baseball doubling that.
Yeah, well. I'd like to know what that Tennessee-Florida game was about the fourth quarter. What was it? Oregon-Ohio State.
Oregon-Ohio State, I'd like to see that number. Mac, just Google that. See what the television ratings were for those two games and see what we can find. I got
for Florida-Tennessee.
Got a producer in Texas sending us all the information. So Florida and Tennessee, and then obviously my Buckeyes taking on the quack-quacks of Oregon. So see what those numbers are. But, you know, we compare everything to, like, these football numbers in the NFL, and nothing compares to you.
Yeah, because like we said, what, 8.2 was what baseball had viewer-wise on Saturday?
Yeah.
And Thursday night's game tomorrow night is Denver at New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And I can guarantee you that number will be at least 10.
Million.
Yeah. Oh, at least.
God, yes.
And that's two more than baseball.
But it also goes to show you that the American public likes games that matter, right? Like, that's why I still think 162 regular season baseball games is just vastly too many games to have out there. You give us a game as the American public, a game that matters, especially an elimination game, right? Mm-hmm. People are going to watch those games. Regular season game, playoff game, everything's on the line, let's go. And baseball's doing a great job. Baseball's getting their numbers because of Rob Manfred. And I know the baseball purist hates to hear it. The pitch clock, the ghost runner, the bigger bases, which encourage stealing, keeping pitchers in the game for 3 batters minimum. All of that moves the game along. You noticed in the playoffs, you weren't falling asleep playoff games, you know?
Last night was pretty brutal because
I was talking about the ones we were at, you know, and like they move.
That Wednesday game was slow.
It was a little bit slow.
But that's because they're taking pictures in and out. Somebody from the text line either found the article and copied and pasted, or they actually know their business. 913, thanks to you. Ohio State and Oregon NBC, 10.4 million viewers.
Okay.
Oklahoma, Texas on ABC had 7.6 million.
Okay.
Alabama, South Carolina on ABC had 6. Penn State, USC on CBS had 4.3. LSU Ole Miss on ABC at 4.2, and then you mentioned 3.3 for Colorado, K-State. Only 3.2 for Tennessee, Florida.
Now, I will say that it's on ESPN.
So not available to everybody.
Not available to everybody. But again, you mentioned the baseball's on TBS, which is available.
/ True TV.
Yeah, but that's cable. You know, it's like free over the air. What was the other game that you mentioned?
Oregon and Ohio State.
K-State was on ESPN, too.
It was.
So about 3 million people for an ESPN, 3 to 4 million people for an ESPN game. Where do you start looking at college basketball ratings?
Oof.
People think everybody watches college basketball. They barely draw over 1 million at times. And the only reason they draw over 1 million is like Duke and North Carolina or Kansas and Kentucky.
Yeah, their biggest ratings will be that opening weekend of the March Madness tournament.
That's always it.
Yeah,
always
that Thursday, Friday, like, Saturday, Sunday.
Like a big Monday game. Nobody's watching that.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's watching. No, they're not. I hate to break it to you. They're not.
So we told you to direct your attention to our poll question because it was at the Fan 965 on X, where you can go and support the vote if you want to. But it was who got better yesterday with the trade, Amari Cooper to the Bills or the Jets getting Devontae Adams, which that whole thing was like kind of cringeworthy. because did you see the Pat McAfee interview?
I heard he like came on the air. Like, I just can't do Aaron Rodgers anymore. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
He's a douche.
Diana Rossini was the one that tweeted it, and she said that Davante Adams was already in the facility for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on McAfee's show, and Rodgers tried to look real cool. And he was like,
it's hard to do.
He's like, how do you do the, you know, you bring in Devontae, and he kind of looks over and gives him like a head nod, and then Devontae goes into the camera, and then there it is. But I thought it was interesting because we talked about the tweet yesterday that McAfee had of the eyes and then holy blank.
Right.
I thought McAfee played that well because I know for a fact, even though I don't, which sounds contradicting,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers texted Pat McAfee.
No question.
And was like, hey, we're getting Davante Adams. He'll be on your show today for a little bit, and right. I'll announce it as well. And Pat McAfee was like, could have, like many of us can do. I mean, you have your sources. I have zero. But many of us can do is say, you know, blank is coming here per source. Or you could do what Pat McAfee did and use modern technology or whatever and do emojis and vagueness.
Mm-hmm.
And now anytime Pat McAfee does that, people are going to be like, well, the last time he did this, Aaron Rodgers came out and said that Davante Adams is going to the Jets. And if he does that, that creates traffic for him.
Oh, no doubt. I love Pat McAfee. Yeah, it's great.
And the thing that they did yesterday is they acquired Davante Adams. Does that make the Jets better? For sure it does. How much better is the question?
The question, yeah.
Right?
Is Aaron Rodgers still the quarterback?
He is. Okay. And I saw a funny question on Twitter yesterday. As it was like, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, and there was another one on there. Oh, Davante Adams. And it said, who's going to stop this Jets offense? And I just put a meme of Spagnuolo.
I like that.
I would like to see the Jets offense play against this Chiefs defense.
Yeah. I thought you were going to put a meme of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you could have. Or it could have just done like an ayahuasca bowl.
Or Nate Hackett.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting is that I do think the Jets got better, but I love that the main focus of those trades yesterday were a divisional focus. They were not a focus of going after the Chiefs, which I think Baltimore set. They've been fortunate this year outside of Kyle Van Noy with the eye injury. I don't think they make any moves, and they still know what they have. They know that they lost the Chiefs by a toe. They're going to try to spend the rest of the year trying to get to the Chiefs. Buffalo and New York played a close game on Sunday night or on Monday Night Football. And then the very next day, both of them made active moves, meaning that they're playing against each other right now, which means they're not a focus. Your only focus right now you're taking control of, and that was the Baltimore Ravens. Now the Chiefs sit there and float around ideas of who's available. And there's guys like Mike Williams. He could be available. I don't know if I want Mike Williams on this team.
No.
I think Mike Williams wants to get the hell out of New York.
Well, Rodgers, man. Like, that's just a douche move by throwing his guy under the bus by saying, well, Mike, you should have been in the better position to catch. Well, come on, man.
Right.
Like, I understand it's good for, like, our stuff, and it's great fodder and conversation, but I always say, all right, let me put myself in the locker room, in a team environment, in a work environment where you're working with people, and you start going out there and saying, you know, this guy that works next to you that you're working together with sucks. Like, how is that going to go over for the rest of the locker room, right? Like Mike Williams maybe moved on from, but that residual is still there. Like, everybody else is going, like, does this guy think this about me too? Is he only going to throw now to Davante Adams? And, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers has seen better days. I've never been a fan of Aaron Rodgers in my life. I don't think he's a winner. I think he's all about himself. And this is a selfish move for him to go get a 31-year-old wide receiver. We'll see how much better it makes him. But that offensive line didn't get better yesterday. The play caller didn't get better yesterday. The head coach didn't get better yesterday. And the quarterback didn't get any younger yesterday either. So we'll see. We'll see.
I thought the play calling improved a little bit on Monday night from Hackett to Todd Downing. It's a low bar, but
I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, if the players execute, everybody thinks the play calling's great, you know?
And yeah, we disagree on this. We've had this discussion. Yeah. Play calling, I think, is massive. Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson looked their best they had all season. So that's important.
And that's kind of the new coach bump that I think
absolutely.
You get a little bit as well. So I'll be interested. I mean, I'll be interested to see. It's going to be great to watch. It's a car wreck, and you're paying attention, and then this car's on fire, and man, you're like, oh, my God, look at the flames. This thing is burning. And
you're trying to put it out. It won't go out.
And then it won't go out, and then it just goes, you know, like, and then fizzles out. So I understand why they made the moves yesterday, both Buffalo and the Jets. But I think Buffalo actually got better yesterday from a standpoint, because unless the Jets are going to go out and find themselves a left tackle, they're still the Jets. And they're still the Jets at that point in time. I mean, you're a horrible organization. You didn't get much better because you got Davante Adams on your team.
I think you're going to have fun watching Sunday Night Football this week.
Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, because who's a defensive player you love to watch?
TJ Watt.
You know who he plays this week?
The Jets.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there you go, TJ.
And I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, but Mike Tomlin kind of made me realize what's going on.
Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent who hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man. Last week, for example, man, his ability to utilize his legs by design and by ad-lib was a significant component of that game. He rushed for 50-plus yards and two touchdowns in game. And so we're appreciative of that. We're appreciative of how he's taking care of the ball. But we're just looking at all the people at our disposal the same way that we do at any position. We acquired, you know, Terrell Edmonds a number of weeks back, who we have a history with. And as soon as we got him up to speed and got comfortable, we started considering ways to utilize his talents. That's what you do in this thing. You better have your foot on the gas at all times. You better look to divide the labor up in the most appropriate way based on who's available to you and healthy. And that's just simply what we're going to do.
I love that, man.
That's a word salad of saying literally nothing.
He goes, he's been good, but there's a difference between good and great.
I don't know. He said he's been good. Don't mistake that with great.
Yeah. Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great.
I love that. It's a great line.
Because I was thinking to myself yesterday.
Not to be confused with good.
When I was like seeing this sort of develop in Pittsburgh. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why not Justin Fields? He had two touchdowns, 50 yards rushing. Yeah, it was against Vegas, who's a complete disaster.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, is this Tomlin toying with Justin Fields to make him think that when he's at his highest of this year, that there's still a chance that Russell Wilson can take that job? And it sounds like Russell Wilson's going to start against the Jets on Sunday night.
I guess, maybe.
I'm pretty sure he's going to start Sunday night.
Why, though?
Because I think there's two stories to this.
Okay.
I think
they're trying to showcase him for a trade?
Well, I think there's one that they're trying to prove to the world, because, look, it didn't work in Denver.
No.
It was running out quickly in Seattle.
Yes, it was.
And he didn't win anybody over because he was supposedly hurt in Pittsburgh. If it is a complete, utter disaster in the first half for Russell Wilson in this game, it's done. It's over. It's never going to happen again. Nobody's going to give you a chance. And I think Mike Tomlin's kind of doing one of those things where I think he knows he can beat the Jets with his defense and give Aaron Rodgers fits. But again, like, I don't think that he truly believes that Russell Wilson is the best option for his team. I think that there's just somewhere along the line where he just has to be like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give you a chance, man. And if you can't do it, then screw it. We're done with you. Or maybe, like you said, he goes out there and shows he's capable of playing the quarterback position, and they can get rid of that sort of cringeworthy athlete on their team that maybe Mike Tomlin never wanted.
Who's going to take Russell Wilson then?
Miami?
Then do it now.
Yeah.
Don't show him. He's going to play back.
Because that's the other thing. What if he goes out there and falls on his face?
Exactly.
You know, then you're not trading him. Nobody's
very likely
going to want him.
Very likely that he would do that.
I mean, the recent track record would say that.
Yeah.
You're right, Mac. Yeah.
And I don't know anybody else that maybe Vegas? Hey, Vegas needs a quarterback.
Well, I mean,
they're not really playing for anything.
Yeah,
they just traded their wide receivers, so they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The whole situation just doesn't really make sense to me, and I'm trying to wrap my head around what possibly would make sense, because what Max said, it's like the pitcher analogy. If they're not hitting your fastball, don't show your curveball. If nobody knows if Russell Wilson's washed completely or not, don't show them that he's washed yet. Yeah. Just be like, yeah, we have Justin Fields. He's been playing great, but if you want Russell Wilson, take him.
Mm-hmm.
But other people are going to be like, well, I don't know if it's good or not yet. I need to see something. I need to test drive the vehicle. You can't test drive quarterbacks in the regular season.
No.
So I have no idea what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Imagine being one of these teams, though. As we were talking about with Binkley in the 6 o'clock hour, like, there's not a real good quarterback coming out right now in college that you can say, I want to build my franchise, or like there's no, you know, suck for luck type of guy, or tanking for Tua, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Like that. And when you do that, I think is a mistake as well, but because there's no guarantees that anybody's going to be good, but there's, and now maybe this year, because nobody stands out, maybe there'll be three really good guys that you can build, you know, it could be, who knows, right? You know, that's kind of how it goes. You're right. Like, so if you're Pittsburgh or you're Oakland or you're the Giants, like or Miami at this point, you don't have a quarterback. And if you're looking to the draft to get that guy, you may be looking to 26 before you can get that guy. Who was that going to be? I don't know. So, I mean, I hate to keep saying this, but I mean, we live in a really good place right now, right? We're talking about Mission Hill's problems here. Okay. Other teams are talking about like real life issues of not having a quarterback. We're talking about, do we go out and trade for a wide receiver on an expiring contract to make it a little easier for Patrick? You know, like those are the things we're discussing. And people in Pittsburgh and New York and Oakland are like, anybody got a quarterback? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Like, I mean, it's amazing.
Somebody from the 417 says, goes to Tennessee and they trade a wide receiver back to the Steelers.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So you just trade Hopkins and Russell?
That's a great
idea. Why does Tennessee want him, though?
Who's got more in the tank? Russell Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
I would say Hopkins. Look, I think Russell's done.
He's been done.
Yeah.
Like, ever since he said, let's ride, we should have known it was over.
Right. I think Tomlin knows that. I think Tomlin got Russell Wilson, thought it was a good idea, saw him in practice, was like, you're actually too hurt to play. We'll get you. And now he's just kind of blue-balling him, pretty much. Just like, hey, man, no, don't worry. You keep going. Get that eye black on. Keep that helmet strapped up tight. We got you next week. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he knows. Yeah. He knows.
He knows he's done. Hey, we'll see how it goes. If things don't go well, maybe we'll get you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coach.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Let's ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of good things today and some not so good. I think that we can play cleaner across the board. And so, you know, we got to clean those things up, get ready to go on a Thursday night game on the road against a division opponent and go get it. And yeah, that's got to be our mentality. That's got to be our focus right now.
Mm-hmm. Was that from last year when they beat the Chiefs?
No. Yeah, maybe 10-8, 23.
No, that game was here. We won that game. We lost the one in
the flu game.
The flu game, yeah.
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 He just, I don't know, man. Like, you'd think that Russell would just, you know.
I feel the fountain of youth, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I just, yeah.
Who do you want to hear more from, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Neither.
Russell.
Russell.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, you know, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But, yeah, for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, eight hours flight here. That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut-ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last 2 hours, the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and then I watched the film the rest. So
all of that is a lie.
Nobody is doing that for 4 hours, let alone 4 hours on an airplane in a tight aisle.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Ugh. Like, we've seen some people do some weird stuff on planes, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, my wife flew back from the marathon. Person next to her, no shoes on, sitting crisscross applesauce, right? Another friend of mine flew from Chicago to Houston. The guy next to him slept on his shoulder the whole time. You know, like, didn't know the person. Like, this is just on Sunday. That's this is insane. Just too, like, so we see people on flights do amazingly just awkward, bad, selfish, dumb things. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's in that category.
Don't really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson or Jerry Jones?
I'm done hearing from Jerry Jones, okay, too. Like, yesterday, Jerry Jones, man, like, it's time that you just kind of check out, let somebody else take over.
And I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning.
Yahoos.
Not you.
Like, he's picking fights with radio hosts now.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man. I'm not kidding you.
You choose to go on the radio show. You choose to have that daily segment.
He loves it.
Of course he does, but he's not kidding.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man. I'm not kidding you. You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
You asked the question, Russell Wilson or Jerry Jones?
It's when tough. You start blaming the media for things, that's when it's over.
That's right.
Go back in history and look at it. Once people start blaming the media, they've lost it. It's over. It's time to find something else to do. And that's where Jerry Jones is right now. They ask the questions that everybody in that fan base wants to know. Why didn't you sign better players this offseason and get a better roster? It's a legit, fair question that everybody's talking about.
That you should have known was coming.
And if you don't want those questions to be asked, cancel the interview. Mm-hmm. But you're such a media attention whore that you're going to go out there and you're going to do it. And you're going to do that and you're going to get even more attention. But it actually is a brilliant move by Jerry Jones because nobody's talking about how bad his team is. Mm. Everybody's talking about him going on the radio, calling out radio hosts and his behavior. He's done a masterful job of that. He took all the attention off of his team and put it on himself. Nobody's talking about that team getting beat 47-9. They're all talking about Jerry Jones. And it's done. It's worked out perfectly because he's taken all the pressure off his own team and put it on himself.
From the 479, Dusty is the cool but adult version of the sports machine. I'm going to take the rest of the day off.
Yeah.
Chiefs should trade for Christian Watson on a rookie deal steal. UFA in 2026. If he shows out, maybe sign him to an MVS-type deal.
Watson! Yes!
Say this. That ain't happening.
That would never happen.
Nah, that dude's going to stay with Jordan Love for a while. Mike Williams? No.
Here we go to the – well, I think the Royals need to go out and get, you know, yes. Juan Soto.
Yeah, right.
At least he's a free agent. Like, why would the Green Bay Packers trade that guy, first of all, anywhere?
No.
Yes. Second of all, anywhere.
Somebody asked, why not go get Adam Thielen? He's hurt. I mean, it makes sense. Like, that'd be the type of player that you could see the Chiefs going to get. But, again, like, I don't know.
I'd get Mike Williams. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, if they cut him, then you don't have to give up anything for him. You know, but then again, where you are in the pecking order, too, the Chiefs are always going to be like, and,
you know,
last.
If Mike's in the right spot, you know, we don't lose the game.
Right.
But I accountability for myself.
Nice hair, Aaron.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know, man. Jerry Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, start, bench, cut.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I would actually start Jerry, bench, Russell, cut Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to start Russell.
Russell, you're going to start. Aaron Rodgers, I'm just done with, man.
Yeah,
you throw in your teammates under the bus.
Yeah.
As the quarterback. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't even throw Kadarius Toney under the bus.
No.
Or MVS when he drove.
Right,
any of these guys.
Right.
And this guy's out here going, well, if he was in the right spot, that's why you're a loser, Aaron.
Yeah. What about Christian Kirk in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it would never happen.
No,
too much money.
Way too much money.
Coming up on the other side, an opportunity of a lifetime that you can do for the right price of $1,500. I think a lot of people would do it. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Say hey. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan as we wrap up this show on a Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
That's right. Ben Maller will be on the show.
That's right. Big announcement coming, I think, tomorrow with Ben Maller.
Oh, nice.
Be ready for that.
How about that for a tease?
Yep.
Jordan Reed's got a full 2025 mock draft already on ESPN. He has the first two picks of the draft coming straight out of Colorado.
Really?
He does. He has.
Who does he have picking one?
Number one overall pick will be the Cleveland Browns taking Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, that's going to go well.
Dion will avoid that.
I mean.
Dion will avoid that.
No, I mean, you're holding that. You ain't going to Cleveland.
Yeah, hell no.
It is not, no.
Number two, he has Travis Hunter going to the New England Patriots.
Does he list the position?
No.
No.
Okay. Of course not.
Yeah, gotcha.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Dion, I'm like, he ain't playing for you guys. Sorry.
Well, Dion also came out earlier, like, this year and said his kids are only going to play for San Francisco, Dallas.
The teams he played for. Yeah.
San Francisco, Dallas, Atlanta. And then
Washington.
There's like, I don't know if it was Washington. There might have been, like, I think there was, like, an L.A. team. But.
No, I do remember. That's right. He named all the teams that he played
for.
Yeah,
and like Travis Hunter had said that he wouldn't mind playing for the Broncos because he loves Denver.
Yeah.
Well, he plays in Boulder, but obviously he loves the area of Colorado. Right,
which is basically, say, Lawrence to, you know, here. So,
yeah.
But who doesn't love it out there? Have you ever met somebody that says, I don't really like Colorado? Some people are saying now that there's too many Californians living there, which whatever.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Like rising bombs? The property value up and things of that nature. But, you know, people moving in. No, I've never heard anybody say they don't like Colorado. It's a beautiful state and country.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been to Boulder. I've been to Estes Park. I've been to...
You've been close, then.
Yeah, I've been to...
Boulder's a good town,
brother. Been to Denver. I know.
So good.
Boulder, I bet's awesome.
Oh, my God. So like, cool. Colorado is one of those schools that I've always got, like, ticked off about that they're not better in sports. Like,
yeah.
You had legal weed before anybody, okay?
Yeah.
And you have Boulder, Colorado, which is one of the most beautiful settings on earth.
Yeah.
And yet you are always terrible at sports.
Not always.
Yeah.
But never like the focus point.
I mean, they haven't been good in football since the 90s. Like,
never in my life.
Terrible. Like, awful.
Basketball. Yeah, I don't know.
Illinois is the other one. I mean, you're right there between Chicago and St. Louis. You get all kinds of great players from Chicago alone and never any good. Now they're playing some good football finally and had decent basketball with
Bill. Good basketball.
There,
but
20 years ago.
No, good basketball this last few years, but you're right. You're right. It is very spotty.
Yeah. Like, so Colorado was always the one where I'm like, how do you not perform better? Now they got Deion and they're doing some good things out there, but it'll be interesting to see if Dallas does fire Mike McCarthy, if they do try to go hire Deion Sanders and bring him and Shador as a package deal. How would that be? I mean,
I think about my insides up.
How great would it be for what we do for a living?
I'd be torn because I'd have to start rooting for Dallas.
Oh, I see. I wouldn't root for him. I'd just be rooting for this, for the show. Be a great show. Deion down there. Coach in Dallas? Oh, come on now.
No.
Be an S show.
I mean, you talk about Jerry Jones being a great P.T. Barnum, right? At least I do. That's what you do. If you're P.T. Barnum, you bring the next crazy thing. I remember years ago when I was a child, long before Mac was even a seed, and the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was peddling their new thing, the unicorn. And they rolled out the unicorn, and all of us went to the circus to see the unicorn. This is what Dallas does. Every year, it's something different. Generate interest. Deion Sanders, you don't think that's going to explode interest for the Dallas Cowboys? Go 8-8, 9-7. Jerry will be all over that.
You found a funny story.
This is really good, right?
Maybe it's not funny. It's kind of cool, actually.
Would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't?
I don't think so. Okay. This sort of thing doesn't do it for me, where others might absolutely run through a wall for it.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be a lot of fun. And I think the adrenaline rush would be something you probably have never experienced before.
Fair.
So USC does this thing where you can bid, basically make a donation of like $1,300 to $1,500, and you get to run out of the tunnel with the team, right, on game day, which I think would be cool. Mac, you'd like to do something like that,
right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, think about like at Tennessee, running out of the tunnel with your college
goosebumps.
Team, right?
Yeah. I think you could say badass.
Yeah. Right? That's really cool, right? Or if you're a KU basketball fan, running out of the tunnel at Allen Fieldhouse, how cool would that be, right? And so USC does this deal. Somebody bid on it, however they got it. And they didn't say you couldn't wear anything. So there was a Penn State fan who won the bid, and he ran out at the Penn State game with the USC team out of the tunnel. Now, great troll job by him. But I was thinking, like, if the Chiefs were to offer something like this, where you made a $1,500 donation to the Hunt Family Foundation or whatever, and or whatever charity of their choice happens to be, I bet you they would have a wait list as long as anything for people to do that. If they did like one person a game, you'd probably go into the next decade with people paying $1,500 to run out of that tunnel at Arrowhead on game day. How cool would that be? I think that would be awesome, man.
Do you consider the Germany game a home game?
No. Like with,
okay.
No.
So it has to be an Arrowhead.
Yeah, an Arrowhead. Yeah.
Yeah. See, like, the, to me, I
for
just,
you, it doesn't float your boat.
Not
That's
really.
That's fine.
Now,
I just think it'd be so cool. I get goosebumps.
What I would rather do, now this is just me, I'd rather walk out with the captains and watch the coin flip.
Oh, you would?
Ooh, that's cool too.
That I would like to do, because I mean, then at least I'm on the sideline while whoever's doing the national anthem and they're doing the B-52 flyover. That would get me.
Okay.
Because I was talking to our buddy Blair, who seems to be Mr. Everywhere, taught Jason Kelsey how to palm a beer can. And chug it at the same time. But he said that he's been a holder of the flag.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, when you're on the field and that thing flies over and the whole crowd yells Chiefs and everything's going nuts, he's like, it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, right? I feel that.
Right.
But like running, I feel like I would trip over my shoelace and then that, like next thing I know, like
Chris Jones
runs over me, or the same thing happens in the 40-yard dash and it's on my back.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh no, man.
So you're afraid more than anything of falling is why you wouldn't do it.
Not more than anything, but like, like that's a fear of mine.
Yeah, because I think the reaction to the crowd's going to be loud when you're running out, and that's all that fire and smoke and light show. Like, I don't know, man. I'm 47. I think that'd be really cool to do something like that. And then you get to stay on the field for the national anthem and all that jazz and still get to experience all of that. And maybe if you can hide out in a laundry basket, you don't have to go back upstairs. Have you ever had the opportunity to be on the field at all for an NFL game, either one of you guys? The only opportunities I've had, Denver used to let you on the field like with 2 minutes to go.
No.
It is a different ball game down there on the field, man. Oh, my God. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I bet that's really cool. Like, the closest thing I got to was when they did the fan experience or the fan day at Arrowhead when they did those draft picks. We're talking about yesterday at our post-production meeting. That was, like, the closest thing I got to.
But not
like,
during a game.
No. Yeah. I mean, there was probably, like, 10,000 people there, maybe.
Oh, wow. That's...
Maybe a few less, maybe more. But they had, like, a stage. They had people in seats walking around. They had people on the field. And, like, that was the first time that I'd ever really stood on Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I went to a Luke Combs concert on the field last year, but it was, like, seats. It kind of was distracted. But, like, the field itself, like, you get on there and you're like... This isn't so big after all. And then you look up and you're like, I'm in a Coliseum. This is nuts. But like when you're on the field and look at like the dimensions, you're like, oh, this is just like a high school field. But like you look up and you go to that next level and it's, I can only imagine what it would be like to be in a playoff game on the field at Arrowhead. I couldn't imagine.
Or running out at Cameron as Duke or, you know, batting as Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium in May or, you know, something like
just, I would have the same stats.
Yeah, right. No, I said in May.
Oh, in May.
Have a chance to hit a home run. But, you know, like just certain things like that or just taking a shot at Augusta, you know, like teeing off at Augusta would be, I don't play golf at all, but I think that would be pretty cool, you know?
Look like Michael J. Fox in that tee box. That, I'm sorry. You'd be really nervous. Somebody says Cody would sign up for this. He would put his hot dog derby costume on and finally get his win. Nah, he'd still lose the race.
Yeah, he would.
Michael J., I'm sorry for that comment. I apologize. Dear Lord, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. But I would go to Augusta. That'd be the one. To like walk with Tiger for a hole. Dear God. I'd be like, please birdie. Good show today, fellas.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll dive more into this San Francisco Chiefs rivalry, which I don't think it is. Obviously, it's not because they don't win. Dusty Leggins, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or year. Stay cool. Stay kind. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, have a good day. Cody and Gold next on 96.5 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.